All right. We shall continue with our series of teachings on thinking like Jesus. When we finish this series, which I think we are bringing to an end now, I think it will be good if God permits us, that is, to now do a teaching on man himself, on who you are, in which case we will study the flesh, the soul, and the spirit of man. We'll do a teaching on the flesh, the soul, and the spirit. Many of us don't know the difference between our flesh, our soul, and our spirit. We need to do that, scripturally speaking. Then, when we finish with that, we will now do the foundational doctrines of Christianity. The six doctrines. I've been trying to push that one forward until the church grows much more so that more people can benefit in it. And we will all be blessed when we get to all those teachings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now for this morning, we are continuing with Think Like Jesus. And the area we are looking at today is endure suffering. That is one key area that many believers are contrary with the Lord. Many believers are opposed to the Lord on that. Why? Because the gospel that is being preached today is the gospel that rejects suffering. That's where you will hear songs like "Me, I know, go suffer, I know, go beg for bread." That's why the song that Wale Adenuga wrote, "Today, oh, no matter, no matter what I face, when trouble comes my way, I will praise your name." They've changed it to "No matter what I face, when success comes my way, I will praise." Because the church has rejected suffering. Christians don't want to suffer. And whenever you meet a Christian who does not want to suffer, you will meet a Christian that is compromising at every critical point in his Christian faith. Because suffering, hardship, as ugly as it sounds, they are integral part of the gospel. In Acts chapter 14 verse 12, Paul told the disciples that we shall with much tribulation make our way into the kingdom of God. Except the Christianity an individual is practicing is a Christianity that is not going to get to heaven. If heaven is your goal, then suffering is part of the load. You cannot avoid it. In John chapter 15 verse 20, Jesus Christ says, "A servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you." It's a definite statement. In John chapter 16 verse 33, he says, "In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." When Jesus tells us, "If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up what? His cross daily." He says, "Let him deny himself." He didn't say, "Let him indulge himself." The opposite of self-denial is self-indulgence. Self-denial is you don't do what you want to do anymore. You only do what is necessary. Self-indulgence is you do whatever you want to do. Anytime you want, whichever way you want. That one will not get anybody to heaven. Somebody flown along with us. You remember last week when we were studying humility, we mentioned that it is only on two occasions that the Bible makes it clear that Jesus left us an example. The first example that he gave us in John chapter 13 verse 15 is the example of servanthood, the example of humility, the example of each one of us putting on the toga of a servant. Forget your background, forget your age, forget your degree, forget how much money you have. When you get to the presence of God, you make yourself a servant. You humble yourself. That is the first example that Jesus gave us. The second example that he gave us, you will find that in 1 Peter. chapter 1. Can we please go to 1 Peter, sorry, chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Are we there, please? Okay, we'll wait a few seconds. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter is towards the end of the Bible. Once you pass Hebrews, you pass James, you get to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. All right, I read now. For even hereunto were ye called. For even this is what you are called into, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us what? An example that we should do what?
Follow.
And you should follow his steps. Christ suffered, he left you an example, and he says, follow my steps. So whenever you get to a Christian or you meet anyone who is telling you he gave them life and that they must have life abundantly, that the God that I serve is a God that will not permit you to suffer, that's a false prophet. That's a false teacher. He's not telling you the truth. Oftentimes, the gospel that you had, as of the time you surrendered your life to Jesus, most likely you had the gospel of, oh, bro, you don't have a job. That's no problem now. Give your life to Jesus, you will get a job. You probably had the gospel of, you don't have money. The God that I serve, he owns heaven and earth. If you give your life to Jesus, you will get money, you will build a house, you will buy a car, you will buy a land, you will live in Lekki. So you give your life. Now, what you don't realize is you are not giving your life to Jesus. You are giving your life to Mammon, the God of money. That's why a lot of people are in the church today. There is no difference between them and unbelievers. Because something marks the Christian different. What marks the Christian different is that he takes a stand for what is right and he refuses to budge. No matter what he's going to lose. That is why the world hates the Christian. Jesus Christ says, ye are in the world, but ye are not of the world. He says, if ye are of the world will love its own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. When you see unbelievers telling you, I like your kind of Christianity, you are a backsliding Christian. If an unbeliever tells you that he likes your kind of Christianity, you are a backsliding Christian. Your Christianity is not convicting that unbeliever of sin. The unbeliever is free to do whatever he wants to do in your presence. That's what it means. If you are a vibrant Christian, the unbelievers will tell you, I don't even know what is wrong with you. Your Christianity is making you mad. Everything, don't do, don't do. They can't even smoke in your presence. They can't even lie in your presence. You, this kind, we want to do that deal. James, who is helping us, is he not a Christian? Even the other man, where they are, not be leader for church. Everybody don't agree, say, we go do this thing like this. Now, only this crazy man, his own Christianity, that is a Christian. A Christian takes a stand for what is right. Even if he's going to die in the process, he dies. That's the testimony of a Christian. That's why they killed Jesus. That's why they killed Stephen. That's why they killed Peter. That's why they killed Paul. That's why they killed almost all of them. But you see, we have a Christianity today that has entered into a marriage of convenience. And you hear Christians saying prayer like, settle me, O God. Does God owe you anything? You hear Christians going to church, the only thing they are concerned about is what they are going to get. But Christianity is not about what you get, it's about what you give. Until you give, you don't receive. So people come to church expecting, this one must give me, this one must give me, that one must give me, because God says we should love one another. And people start fighting each other. Because nobody wants to give, everybody wants to grab. Maybe you experienced this thing after you got born again. You've had all the sweet talks what we are sharing this morning, for some of us, it may be a little bit uncomfortable, but believe me, if you accept the truth, it will make your life peaceful. You will be able to understand why you are going through certain things after you have given your life to Jesus Christ. It is not that God hates you, and it is not that God has abandoned you. But there is a phase you must go through in your Christian life that if you belong to Christ, that phase you cannot escape it. You cannot escape it. We are going to look at some reasons very, very quickly why God permits suffering in his children. Probably after you got born again, as I was going to say, you didn't have problems. Well, you didn't have much problems until you got born again. And then you gave your life to Jesus. And you were expecting what the pastor said from the pulpit to now start happening. You are now looking for the car, where the car will come from. You are now looking for where the house will come from. You are now looking for how the money will start flowing. But wham, one problem after the other. One problem after the other. One problem after the other. At that point, some people backslided. At that point, some people say, I beg, if it is like this, since I begin go church, my business just collapse. Everything just go down. I don't get business again. All the people where they come meet me, they don't come again. At that point, some people just go back. What most people do is that they did not go back. They remained in the church, but their heart has left the church. So many of the people who now say they are Christians, when heaven looks at them, heaven calls them hypocrites. If you remember the testimony that we showed here a few months ago about that young man who died and went to heaven, you remember? And Jesus started showing him some congregations, and he said he saw some people in the church who were wearing masks. And Jesus was saying, those ones don't belong to me. This one don't belong. And that those who are wearing masks in the church were more than those who are not wearing masks. And those who are not wearing masks, their faces were glowing and shining. Many people in the church are deceiving themselves, because many pastors in the church have made money their God. So they have to tell the people what the people will love to hear, so that the people can keep on bringing tithes and offering. Now, Christianity is not about tithe. It is not about offering. It is not about money. It is about who will reign with Jesus Christ. Please don't forget it. There is a throne that is waiting for you. There is a position that God has reserved for you. There is no amount of money in the world that can buy it. The devil will try to use temporary things to deceive you. He will try to use a car. He will try to use a house. He will try to use the shiny, shiny things in this world to deceive you, because what he wants to steal with you, there is no amount of money in the world that can buy it. So the phase you are going through, as far as God is concerned, God calls it our temporary sufferings. They're temporary. Even if you suffer for 100 years, brethren, can you compare a suffering of 100 years with an enjoyment of 100 million years? Somebody feeling along with me? Yes. By the time you enter into eternity, you forget whatever you have suffered. And believe me, you won't even suffer 100 years. Because you probably will have died before 100 years from now. So let's get our Christianity balanced, so that nobody will deceive us. Are you feeling along with me? Okay. Number one, why does God, who is so full of love, God who loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son to come and die for you, God who says that after having given you his son, what else is there that he will not give you? It's in the Bible. Say, he gave you his only son. Say, what else is there that he will not give you? Yet, the same God permits you to suffer. He knows you are having accommodation problem. It's like he has folded his hand. He's not doing anything. He knows you are having financial problem. It's like he's just looking at you. He's not doing anything. He knows you don't have a job. It's like he's just looking at you. He knows you don't have money to spend, and there are needs here and there and there, and you've called upon that same God, and he has not done anything yet. And then you begin to wonder, does he even love me at all? Do I belong to him at all? Why is he permitting me to go through all this stress if indeed he's my father? Number one, to teach you obedience. Can we all say that? To teach us what?
Obedience.
The main problem that we have, like we shared before when we were doing the teaching on obedience, is that man is naturally stubborn. We inherited that nature from Satan. The moment Adam sinned, Satan took over control of planet Earth as the prince of this world, brought his own nature, brought his own influence into this planet. You remember we mentioned the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That spirit is in the atmosphere, and it operates in the atmosphere on Earth. So everyone that is born upon this planet Earth has problem with obedience. And if you are not obedient, there is no way you can reign with Christ. There is no way you can be useful to God. Because whatever God is going to tell you to do will be contrary to your flesh. Somebody friend along with us. Now let's look at a very good example. Jesus Christ. You know, we read in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus was obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Now, you might be tempted to think that Jesus, well, it is okay for Jesus to be obedient unto death. After all, he is the Son of God. After all, he was born by the Holy Ghost. He will be obedient now. You can't compare me with Jesus. We can compare you with Jesus. Because the word of God makes something clear. Please, let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Very quickly. Hebrews chapter 5. If you are there, can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. We look at verse 8. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, capital S, referring to Jesus, yet learned he obedience by the things which he
suffered.
Even Jesus Christ. Jesus did not bring obedience from heaven. Jesus was not obedient because he was the Son of God. Jesus himself had to learn obedience the moment he got to planet Earth, and the instrument which God used to teach him obedience was suffering. You can now understand why God chose a manger for him to be born into. You can now understand why God chose a poor family for him to live with. You can now understand why God chose to send him when the only mode of transportation was your 2 feet. And everywhere he went to, he trekked. The only time he rode a donkey was when he rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. Every other place, he trekked 200 kilometers radius. He trekked. That is somebody trekking from here beyond Ibadan, trekking to Oyo, and trekking back again. That's why at that, in John chapter 4, when he was at the well of Sychar, when his disciples went to eat and that Samaritan woman came to meet him, you remember that story? He said he was tired. Even Jesus, the Son of God, learned obedience by what he suffered. Whatever you are suffering today, God is using it to teach you a lesson. Is somebody feeling along with me?
Yes,
I know many of you are going through difficult times. I know many of you are going through challenges. Believe me, those challenges are not meant to kill you. They are meant to make you strong.
Yes.
you will overcome.
Amen.
Are you feeling along with me?
Yes,
you will overcome. You will come out better.
Amen.
You will come out stronger.
Amen.
You will be much more useful for God.
Amen.
If you do not compromise. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. You see it there again. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10. Are you feeling along with me?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Verse 10, Hebrews chapter 2 says, "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through what?
Suffering.
Sufferings." God made the captain of our salvation perfect through suffering. If suffering is what God used to make Jesus perfect, suffering is what will be used to make you perfect. Because you are no better than the Son of God. Somebody feel along with me.
Yes.
If I sit you down and I tell you some of the things that we have suffered, in fact, you will not believe that somebody can go through all those things and still come out and say Jesus is faithful. Because everybody has his own story to tell. But the point is, we refused to compromise along the way. If we had chosen to compromise, we would not be here. Believe me, we would not be here. I would still be in Germany, I would still be in Europe. Are you feeling along with me? I was the national coordinator of Redeemed Christian Church of God in Germany, not provincial pastor. I was not in charge of a province. I was in charge of a whole nation. And then things started happening in the church. And it's like, if you bend a little, you will get promoted. But if you refuse to bend, you get kicked out. And I said, I'm not going to bend. It is either the truth or nothing else. Now, if I had stayed there, I wouldn't be ministering to a congregation of about 20 people, 25 people. I probably would be ministering to a congregation of thousands, and everybody would say that's a mighty man of God. But that man is not going to heaven, he's going to hell. He has compromised. Christianity is a serious business. Jesus Christ, they asked him, they said, "Lord, will many be saved?" Well, we say, "Will there few be saved?" He says, "Strive to enter by the narrow path." Narrow. Say, because narrow is the way, and straight is the road that leads to life. And few will find it. Few people will find it. Say, but wide is the road, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many, many are there. If you are going to reign with Jesus Christ, believe me, you better tighten your belt, because you are in for a tough time. Those who will get to heaven will not get there by mistake. They will get there because they are determined, "I am not going to hell." And the vehicle, the instrument which God is going to use is what? Is suffering. But I tell you, that suffering is for a short time. You will come out of it.
Amen.
If you are faithful. Somebody feel along with me.
Yes,
that's number one. Number two, why does God allow you to suffer? Because he wants to know what is in your heart. He wants to know what is in your heart. It is easy to say, "I love Jesus," when you just got in a new job. It is easy to say, "I love Jesus," when you just got a new car. It is easy for you to say, "I love Jesus," when you've just been given a new apartment. How many people can say, "I love Jesus," the day he got fired in the office? He gets to the house, landlord says he should pack his load out. He gets to the house, the children are sick, he has no money, and then he now says, in that situation, he says, "Lord Jesus, I just want to worship you. You are faithful. I love you." How many people will say that? Because at that point, when you are going through crisis, that is when God puts his ears very close to your mouth. He wants to hear what you will say. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Many people have shown the Almighty God that they don't love him one bit by what they say when they are in trouble. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. Are we there?
Yes.
All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. 1, to humble thee, and to prove thee, to know what was what in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Verse 3, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. God knew. The only thing he was interested in is what is in their heart. Because even up till today, God is still testing what is in your heart. He wants to test you. A lot of people think they can play games with God. A lot of people think they can cajole God. You will see people swoon and sing and try to romance Jesus when everything is going right. The moment things go wham like that, they begin to sing a new song. And then they start finding fault with everybody. That pastor has no anointing. That church is because they don't praise too much. No, it's because they don't have drum. No, the anointing does not flow because there are no guitar. And they begin to see all sorts of things. Before you know it, the man is moving to somewhere else where they will tell him what he wants to hear. God is testing you. So begin to think like Jesus Christ, that suffering is part of the package. Somebody feel along with me.
Yes.
Nothing strange is happening to you. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12 says that, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is going to try you, as if something strange is happening to you. It is not strange at all. It is the normal Christian life. Number 3, why is God permitting you to suffer to teach you patience? James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4. We will go through some Bible passages today. James chapter 1 verses 2 to 4. I want to encourage you, don't be discouraged. Don't be what? Don't be discouraged. You are close to the end of your suffering. Look, when we get to the teaching on the flesh, we'll be able to explain that God has given to each one of us a period of time through which you will go through what is called a wilderness experience. During that period, nothing will seem to be working. Are you feeling along with me? For some, it could just be 1 year. For some people, it could be 3 years. For Moses, it was for 40 years. Are you following along with me? Now, you cannot reduce that period of wilderness experience. You cannot. Cry all the cry, fast all the fast, pray all the prayers. If God has said you will stay there for 1 year, you cannot reduce it by 1 day. But you know what? You can extend it. You can't reduce it. You can prolong it. Something that is meant to last 1 year, you can make it 25 years. Simply by the way you react. And then God will say, he has not learned. He has not learned. Yeah. That's why some of us keep having the same problem recurring, because you refuse to learn. We'll talk about it in greater detail later. Now, James chapter 1, verse 2. Verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all what?
Joy.
When ye fall into what?
Life.
Isn't that a strange instruction? Isn't that a strange instruction? Say, so begin to rejoice, begin to sing, begin to dance when problems begin to multiply in your life. That's strange now. But he now explains, he said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what?
Patience.
So which tells you straight away, that problem that you are having, that difficulty that you are facing, what God is testing is your faith. Those of us who attended the Bible study when we did the teaching on faith, you remember that faith simply means trust, right? God is testing whether you trust him or not. That's all. That's why you are having that problem in your office. That's why your accommodation, the money has not been paid. That's why you don't have a job. That's why in your house, nobody is your friend. Why? God is testing your faith. He now says, verse 4, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So for you to get to that point in which you are perfect and you are entire and you lack nothing, you will have passed through the trial of faith. Since God has now shown you the end, you understand? It's like somebody is writing an exam for you. Okay? And the fellow writing the exam for you has already told you the answer. Now what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to be afraid? For example, somebody comes into this room. Now, and before he comes in, I told you, see, Brother John is going to come in. When he comes in, I'm going to ask him for all the money that he has in his pocket. That he should, I need the money. But the moment he, but I'm testing him all, whether he's generous or not. The moment he gives me all the money in his pocket, I'm going to give him the key for a brand new car. Because that means he has passed the test. One of you now goes to tell John, that John, when you get inside, Pastor will ask you for all the money in your pocket. Give him everything, oh, because the man won't give you new car. So John now comes in. I said, Brother John, we need money for something. Please, can you give me all that you have in your pocket? What do you think John will be doing?
He will empty his pocket.
He will be laughing. Are you getting the point? Yeah. He will be laughing. As he's giving me the money, he's laughing because he already knows. Are you following my point? Ordinarily, he will frown. Pastor, where will I get money to go home if I give all the money in my pocket? But because he has received advance information that once he releases the money, he will get a brand new car, the man will be laughing. As he's giving me all the money, he will just be laughing. He said, Pastor, take everything now. Take everything, my man. Take everything. That is what God is saying. He said, count it all joy. Knowing this, Holy Spirit said, I'm telling you this in advance. Because the trial of your faith worketh patience. Once you let patience have a full work, you will be perfect. Are you following along with me? So when you are going through crisis, that is not the time you start wearing a vacuum face all over Lagos. And before people see you, 10 minutes before they see you, they have seen your problem. Okay? They can even smell your problem from afar. Everybody sees you, know, like, oh boy, this guy get crisis, oh, wahala day, oh. You see his face, oh boy, wahala day. He says, count it all joy. Crisis comes, you are just beaming with smile. They say, what is your secret? Can't you solve the problem? He say, what problem? Leave that one. That will not be problem, oh. I have the solution in Christ. That is when God says, aha, this one trusts me. Are you flowing along with me this morning?
Yes,
aha. So, to teach you patience, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You see it again? Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There are some things that I will not do. There are some situations in which I will be steadfast, because I have experience. I have experienced God dealing with me in time past over some issues that I can predict what will happen next when a situation happens. So I don't worry anymore. But before you get to that point, you must first pass through tribulation. In those days, it wasn't fun. The things I'm sharing with you, I didn't know them. No one taught me. I wish I had known. I would have responded differently to some situations the way I would have responded now. But now that you know, you should not fail your test. Are you following along with me?
Yes.
There is no one of you that should fail. You must not. You cannot fail.
Amen.
Because God is telling you exactly why you are having that problem in your life. Just to rejoice about it, it will go. Now, number four, very quickly, to show you are a partaker of Christ's suffering. Look, the Bible makes one thing clear. Whoever is not prepared to suffer with Jesus will not reign with him. So if you like, if you know you reject suffering, it is better, you better, the fellow, not you, the fellow should just go back to the world. Go and look for a powerful native doctor that will help him to make charm so that he will make money. As much money as he can spend. Let him buy every car, buy every house, go to every party, carry every CC that he can, so that when he lands in hell, he will know why he has been thrown into hell. Are you following along with me? Not that he will be doing one leg in, one leg out, and then he thinks he's a Christian, and God says he's not a Christian. Suffering, if you are not prepared to suffer for the sake of Jesus, forget it, you cannot reign with him. We have so many Bible passages here that I'm thinking of just closing the message at this point, and then we'll continue it next week Sunday, so that we do not rush it. Somebody follow along with me.
Yes, sir.
There are so many Bible passages because we still have 2 points to look at. Okay? To show you are a partaker of Christ's suffering. That is where we are going to stop for today because of time. Brethren, let me make this clear to you. If a man rejects suffering, that man has rejected wisdom. One of my aunties have this proverb. And the proverb, and she says it jokingly. She says, you have never suffered. You say you are wise. Who is your teacher? Do you understand?
Yes.
Tell another proverb.
Yes.
She says this in Yoruba. Iya oje ologbon tani teacher. You have never suffered. You say you are wise. Who is your teacher? Who taught you wisdom? When people reject suffering, they reject a lot of things. I'm not saying you should go looking for trouble. Are you following along with me? But there are certain situations that God will bring your way that will test your tenacity, will test your power, will test your endurance. You will almost be pulled to pieces. It is that period that you are learning what is called practical wisdom. That is when you learn how to save. That is when you learn how to invest. Most of the businesses that you see that are booming today, the people who started them started because they suffered and everything was almost going to pieces. Are you following along with me?
Yes.
People do some things, not because they wanted to, but because they have been pushed to the wall. And the guy just doesn't know what to do. And he learned some practical wisdom. So by the time he came out of that experience, he has grown tough. He has become smart. He has become very intelligent. You have never suffered. You say you are wise. Who's your teacher? Who taught you wisdom? You've not gone through the fiery furnace, and you say you know God. Don't you know that God does not appear until you are thrown inside the fiery furnace? Have you forgotten that? That God does not appear until you enter the lion's den. God is not going to show himself until the fire is running around you. All the while they are still kindling the fire, God will be looking at you. All the while they are taking you to the lion's den, God will not say anything. He will allow them to put you there. Many of us don't even want to go near the cage of the lion. Many of us don't even want to go near the fire. And we expect God. So once you don't see God there, you just turn back and say, this Christianity, me and no sabi amo. Heaven help those who help themselves. And then the guy goes. And you see, heaven helps those who help themselves. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. It is a statement from the devil to deceive people. So boy, now there you see the, me I don't go, level don't change. Heaven help those who help themselves now. Me I don't help myself. Oh. And the guy has put his own solution in place, the solution that will not last. Brethren, grab some wisdom this morning. You are going through some tough times because you are going through a school. It is called the school of the Holy Spirit. I pray you will not fail.
Amen.
I want your attitude from today to change. Somebody friend along with me.
Yes, sir.
Next week, we will take the remaining 2 points. We will also look at what should be the reaction of a Christian when he's going through crisis. Because this teaching will not be complete if we don't put the solution there. You understand?
Yes.
What should be your reaction when you are going through crisis? Let's bow our heads in prayer and talk to the Almighty God. Even for the one you have heard today, I want you to thank the Almighty God. That, Father, I have learned something new. Now I understand why. Before I did not understand. Now I understand why. Thank you for what I have heard today.